Yeah, so I work with Young Life in Upshur County. We just transitioned from working with RUF. We were doing an internship there for the past 2 years where we share the gospel with college students. And in Upshur County, there's West Virginia Wesleyan College, Buchanan Upshur High School, and Buchanan Upshur Middle School. So in the town of Buchanan, there's about 6,000 people, but the whole county is like 20,000. Everyone kind of comes in. There's one college, one high school, and one middle school. So you can kind of reach the whole county just through sitting on one bench at West Virginia Wesleyan College. So yeah, that's our goal. We're trying to share and preach the gospel with kids in Upshur County. This morning, if you want to go ahead and turn to Psalm 105 in your Bibles, and we'll also be in John chapter 6. But the goal is I just want to look big picture on how God has been at work, both through RUF at MTSU, and both in with Young Life in Upshur County. And so we'll look in the scriptures how God is at work, and then most of the sermon will be an application on how God is at work in these various places. So if you read with me, we'll read Psalm 105, 1 through 6 first. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgment he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Now John chapter 6, verses 17 through 21. Jesus has just had an argument with the Pharisees about the Sabbath that rarely happens. No, I'm just kidding. Verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I am working. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these he will show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, you are at work. Lord, you love the world. You do not spare your own Son, but you sent him to it. Lord, you have a heart that is gentle and lowly and that you love us. Pray we would hear from you and be encouraged, that there would be a time of partnership with one another and seeking to do your will. Pray you would give us the desire to do that. Give us ears to hear, and hearts to understand. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. So what is Christianity? I was meeting with a college student a couple months ago, and I asked him, we were getting into what he liked to do and different things like that, and then we started to get into his religious background. And he told me he was a Christian, and as we got into it, I started to see some red flags and things that he was saying. And so I just asked him what that meant to him. And he said he likes the idea that Jesus is close to him and is near to him, but he doesn't like the idea that Jesus is over him, that Jesus is Lord or has the ability to tell him what to do. And so obviously there was some confusion there on what Christianity is. There was some confusion on what he thought the Christian religion is. So what is Christianity? Herman Bavinck, an old Dutch theologian, gives a good answer as any. He says, the Christian religion does not merely exist in words, in a doctrine, but that it is a work of God, in word and fact, which was accomplished in the past, is being worked out in the present, and will be fulfilled in the future. The content of the Christian faith is not a scientific theory, nor a philosophical formula of an explanation of the world, but a recognition and confession of the wonderful works of God, which have been wrought through the ages cover the whole world and await their fulfillment in the new heaven and the new earth where righteousness dwells. So what is Bavinck saying? See, Bavinck understands that our worldview should be shaped by Christianity. He understands that our science should be based off Christianity and we should live our lives based off of Christianity. But at the heart of Christianity, at the very heart, is God at work. God is a person. He's not an idea. He's not a philosophical formula. He's not something to try to figure out. He is a person to know. In the beginning, a doer of deeds, a person did deeds. He's a person. He's not an idea. He's somebody to get to know. He's at work in this world. And so in the Christian religion, we see a sovereign God working in this world, doing things in order to bring life and to bring life out of death. And so this morning, we are going to be looking at examples of how God has been at work through our partnership at RUF at MTSU and now in Young Life in Upshur County. We're going to do this because this is what the text directs us to do. We will see that God is at work in our forefathers. We will see that God is at work in our families. We will see that God is at work in our failures, in our fellowship, and in our future. First, let's look how God is at work in our forefathers. If you look at Psalm 105 and verses 1 through 5, 1 through 6, we are told that we are to remember that, sing and tell of, glory and rejoice in the fact that God is at work and seek him. And I assume that the psalmist is speaking to us because he mentions the offspring of Abraham. And the New Testament makes it clear that the offspring of Abraham aren't just the physical descendants of Israel, but those who are of faith are the offsprings of Abraham. The psalmist is directing them, and ultimately, he's directing us to sing of and to tell of the wonderful works of God. And so, who should we be telling? If this is us, if we are to be singing and telling and praising of God's work, who are we to be doing this to? Well, verse 1 tells us that we should be making these deeds known among the peoples, plural. The psalmist isn't just directing it to the people or the congregation of Israel, though that's part of it. The psalmist is saying, make these deeds known among the peoples, the nations. Make these deeds known to places like Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and Taze Valley, West Virginia, and Buchanan, West Virginia. See, the ancient Israelites would have no idea, they didn't even know we were here or this place existed. But now these wonderful works of God are being declared even in Taze Valley, even in Buchanan, even in Murfreesboro. So if that's who we should be telling, the whole world and in our communities, what should we be telling? Namely, we see in this passage, what is God at work doing? What is he doing? God is at work bringing his covenant people through death and resurrection for new life. In verses 7 through 11, and we didn't read the whole chapter for sake of time, but in verses 7 through 11, we see the barrenness of Sarah, and then we see a full-fledged covenant family by the end. He's at work bringing life from death. In verses 16 through 24, we see the family go through famine, and we see the family sell Joseph into slavery in the pits in Egypt. But then we see God deliver Joseph and raise him to one of the highest seats in Egypt and provide for that family. In verses 25 through 44, we see the people enslaved in Egypt after Joseph has passed away and Pharaoh's have passed and forgotten how Joseph had served the community. And we see them become enslaved, but God still leads them out of Egypt and provides the promised land. Throughout the whole Old Testament, he's telling the story over and over again of death and resurrection and telling it through his covenant community. So that's what God has been doing. That's what we should be telling, the story of God's bringing life from death. So why should we be doing this? Why should we be telling the story of life from death? In verse 45, the psalm closes, that they might keep his statutes, that they might keep his statutes and observe his laws. Praise the Lord. So what's going on is that we live out the stories that most deeply resonate with us. As these stories of life and death were being communicated to Israel, they started to live those out and become obedient to the Lord. Because we live out of these stories that God speaks to us. We live out of these stories that God communicates. And so we're not just robots just following laws that God gave us. We are persons relating to God and coming to know him. And then in the New Testament, we see where all of these stories pointed to. If you'll turn to John chapter 5, John chapter 6. In verse 17, we open up and see Jesus is having this conversation with the Pharisees. And he says, Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." So in the New Testament opens up, and Jesus is having this conversation with the Pharisees. He says, not only was my Father at work in the past, I am at work. And what's going on here? The Father is working. He doesn't stop working. He doesn't say, my Father is working until now, and then stops. My Father is working until now, and I start working as well. So you see, Jesus is involved. This Trinitarian work is coming in to play. And what are they at work doing? In verse 21, we see, "For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will." And so here at the climax of this story that's repeated all throughout the Old Testament, we get glimpses in to death and resurrection. Different stories that point to this overarching story that Jesus will eventually come and die and rise again for the salvation of his people. So God kept giving glimpses of it into the past. Now Jesus has come to give life from death. And so that's the story that he told to his Old Testament people, bringing them through trials and renewing them into his image. And he continues to tell that story because he has already accomplished it. He has already accomplished our salvation. He tells that story over and over again in our lives to the world. So that is how God is at work in our forefathers. Now let's turn an application. Let's see how God has been at work both at RU at the MTSU and in Young Life in Upshur County. So God is at work in our families as well. I'll tell you the story of Jacob and Claire and Caleb as well. So whenever Malia and I first moved to Murfreesboro to work with RUF, there was a couple there that were sophomores, and they had been dating for a while and were thinking about getting married. And so they were nervous about it. They were nervous about getting married in college. And we had clicked right off the bat because we and I had just gone through our senior year of college and we were married our senior year. So we just had a lot of natural connections with them. And so we go through that year. We get to walk through them with their engagement. They got engaged and we got to walk through them with that. And we got to go to their wedding in Memphis that summer. And it was just beautiful to be able to walk through that with them. Well, one time when they were engaged, we were throwing frisbee on the student union lawn one day, and this kid walks up and says, "Hey, can I throw a frisbee with you guys?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure." So we're just throwing frisbee, and it was pretty brave for him to just—he was by himself, walking up to a group to just kind of insert. And so I asked him, I was like, "Hey, man, why'd you come over here?" And he said, "The Holy Spirit told me to come over here." So I was like, I was instantly intrigued. I was like, "What? Tell me more about that." And so he's like, "Well, I just recently became a Christian, And I was just sitting over there, and I just felt like I should come over here and start throwing frisbee. I was like, wow, that doesn't happen very often. And so I invited him to come to Bible study that evening. And some with a college student, you have about a 50-50 chance if they say they're going to come to something. They might not. They probably forgot about a test. But he eventually, Caleb comes. Caleb shows up. And we're there. And so Jacob is there as well. It's our men's study. And we're getting towards the end. And we're sharing things that we're excited about or things we need prayer for. Jacob says he's excited. It's like 2 weeks away from the wedding. Like it's super, super close. He's like, I'm excited to finally move in with Claire. And Caleb looks at him like, huh? You're getting married? And just has a lot of questions. And then he's like, wait a second. You guys don't live together? He's like, no. He's like, but you're getting married? He's like, yes. And so he's just like amazed at the fact they had been living together. And so Jacob opens up the Bible with him and just says, hey, this is what I think God's calling me to do. He's committed to wait until we're married. And so Caleb is just amazed. And he's like, well, I'm not going to go home and be with my girlfriend tonight. And so it was amazing just watching them interact. And I don't want you to miss the forest for the trees and what's happening there. Caleb was able to see somebody read the Bible and to look at it, read the Bible, see God commanding him to do something, believe it, and then follow that in his life. That was radical to him. That an outside source, somebody else, Jesus, could tell him, hey, I have a plan, and I want you to do something, and then listen, believe that was best for him, and then follow that. That was radical for Caleb. But also for Jacob, Jacob got to see that his obedience that sometimes we take for granted is radical to a watching world. Sometimes we think our obedience needs to be extravagant and crazy, but just something as small as that is radical when we believe there's something outside ourselves that can tell us what to do. And then so with that, that was awesome for Caleb. But so their marriage, Jacob and Claire's marriage, so this, they're seniors this year. And next year they'll be serving as RUF interns at another university and are going through the process of applying to be interns. So the cool thing is that the kingdom is blessed. In a real sense, that it's fruitful and it multiplies. That apart from our partnership here, apart from how God is working through us here, Jacob and Claire are going to go serving another college campus, be ministering, apart from what we know here. And that's really cool. So the point of that is that, beloved, your simple and quiet obedience, not perfect obedience, look at Israel, is radical to the world. So God is at work in our families. God is at work in Jacob and Claire. And he's at work in you guys. Next, we'll look at God is at work in our failures. Let's read about Josh Love. And I really enjoyed this. This guy was awesome. He came from a pretty rough background. And he started coming to RUF because of a girl. And that's pretty common for guys. And so he was coming, and he just kind of jumped in instantly, started help serving. And so we would meet up a bunch and grab coffee and really got to know him really well. And he ended up coming to summer conference, which was basically it's a week at the beach with conferences or with sermons, seminars, and just good biblical teaching. And so Josh comes that week and seems like having a good time, but he pulls me aside one evening. He says, hey man, I'm just, like, this isn't me. Like, what are you talking about? And it's like, everyone's having a great time. Everyone's like learning a lot and everyone's growing and having a blast. But he's just honestly like, I'm not a very good Christian. This isn't me. Like, all this stuff is great and I love and I wish it was, but I'm just not good at being a Christian. And so there was a lot of other stuff going on in his life, and we just had a good conversation. And we walked through this hymn, an old indelible grace hymn, called I Ask the Lord. And in that hymn, one of the lyrics is awesome. He says, the hymn writer says, I ask the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of his salvation know and seek more earnestly his face. But instead of this, he made me feel the hidden evils of my heart and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. So what the hymn writer was saying is that the hymn writer wanted to grow. The hymn writer wanted to know the Lord and thought it might be this mountaintop experience, but actually, in answering the prayer, the Lord allowed them to feel the hidden evils of their heart, that they might depend more on him. And so we walked through this song, and Josh was able to see that God isn't just at work despite our failures. God is at work in our failures. In the book of Isaiah, where's God? Right? God is in the high and lifted up. He's in the scope of the universe, and the earth is his footstool, and he's grand and he's mighty. And where else is he? With him who is lowly and contrite in heart. To those who walk around with just a little bit something off with them, their clock just isn't right. There's just people that can't quite get it figured out. The people that need help. Those who are lowly in spirit and contrite in heart. So Josh and I got to walk through that. So beloved, the point for us is also that God is at work in our failures, bringing life from death. God is at work in us even when we don't feel like God is at work. Next, God is also at work in our fellowship. So I'm transitioning now the past two stories on how God is at work in RUF, was at work in RUF at MTSU, now transitioning into how God is at work in Young Life in Upshur County. And I think the cool thing, the stories with RUF have more wrapping around them because they're a little bit more removed from them. But all of these stories are still in progress. All of these stories are ongoing, and you'll feel that more because we're currently in relationship with these people now. So God is at work in our fellowship, sort of Thursday night Bible study in Maddie. So in this, as we moved to Upshur County, basically to set the scene, Young Life was kind of had a small presence there. Pre-COVID. I feel like that's how we date everything now, is pre-COVID, post-COVID, what was going on. But before COVID, there was something small going on, and then it kind of got shut down with COVID. So moving in, we're trying to find all the loose pieces that were there before, and kind of knew what Young Life was. And so we got a college Bible study started up, and we weren't sure who's going to come, who wasn't going to come. And so there was this one girl, Kennedy, that came, and her MO is that she's just very quiet, doesn't say a lot, but people love to be around her. And so she comes in, she has like three or four girls with her, and the first Bible study, towards the end, I just asked why people would want to come to a Bible study. Why would people want to be there? And one of the girls that, Kennedy had brought she was kind of shaking a little bit and, I could tell she was nervous to speak. And as she was talking, she was like, my parents wouldn't really let me go to church, or they wouldn't tell me about Jesus. She's like, I'm embarrassed, but I don't even know why Jesus died on the cross. Hadn't really been to anything like that. She didn't know how people were going to respond. She didn't know if she was supposed to know or wasn't supposed to know. And so she's been coming the past, week eight now in the semester. It's just been coming. We've been walking through the story of the Bible, from creation to Abraham to David, and we're starting to get into the prophets and into Jesus as he's coming. And this coming week, we're going to meet up and just look at what the gospel is. The point for us is that there are people beside us that don't know the gospel. There are people beside us in our fellowship that don't know the gospel. And you guys being here, participating in Redeemer, participating and being active, that's making a difference. As the further we go along in the gospel, and the longer we're Christians, I think it's easier to take things for granted that people know the gospel. And that's not necessarily the case. There's many people around you that you are being a blessing and encouragement just by being here and participating and giving your input. So that's awesome. There's people around us that don't know the gospel. And so her story is not complete. She's still, and none of our stories are complete. And so pray for Maddie. Pray for Maddie that she would come to know the gospel. And then lastly, God is at work in our future. I'll tell you the story of Cade. Again, I said, this is probably the story that's most obvious, not most obvious, but that God is still in progress with us. And we don't know the ending of stories. One of the guys that has been coming to Bible study, his name is Cade, and I was hoping he would be a leader for the high school. He'd be a leader at Buchanan Upshur High School. He goes to West Virginia Wesleyan. But he's been coming each week to Bible study, and has had a ton of great questions. And we've been meeting up, and we go to Lowe's if I have a house project, or we go to Walmart or grab coffee or something like that, and just has tons of questions. And talking through sanctification, and had questions about justification, and just wants to know more. Just need a little bit of direction. And so this past week he was having trouble with school, and now he's, like 2 days ago, he told me he's moving back to where he's from, to Oak Hill. He might eventually come back, but he's moving back to Oak Hill. And so I was worried about him and not sure how that transition was going to go and his family life and stuff. And about 5 hours after he had texted me that he was moving back to Oak Hill, I get a text from my boss asking me if I know anybody in Oak Hill. There's anything about Young Life. I was like, what? Because there's no Young Life in Oak Hill. And I was like, actually, I do, like, as of 5 hours ago. And so he's like, hey, there's some teachers at Young Life that want to get it going. And we have a good, solid, biblical Bible study that if you have any leaders that would want to come or is looking for community that we could have. And so I make the connection, and him, my boss, have been texting back and forth, and hopefully he'll start going to that Bible study and get connected. So even just thinking, I don't know, I'm worried about him. I'm worried about him. I don't know what's going to come of his story. And I think in life, that's how a lot of us feel. We have concerns. We don't necessarily know what the future holds, but we know that God is at work. And we know the ultimate ending of the story is a happy ending. We know that the end of the story, when Jesus comes back, the new heavens and new earth, is that he's going to renew everything. It's going to be good. And that God is at work. And so even though we don't know how the stories, every little thing that happens in our life is going to end, we can hold on to Jesus. We can trust him. Trust him that he is at work, and his Father is at work, and the Holy Spirit is at work. So be encouraged, friends. God is at work in your families. He's at work in your failures. He's at work in your fellowship, and he's at work in your future. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are at work. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you love everyone in these stories, and you love us. I pray that you would help us to be transformed, to have a heart for the lost. We pray you'd be with us. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
My brothers and sisters, receive God's benediction to rest upon your life for the week to come. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and may the love of God your Heavenly Father, And may the powerful presence of God the Spirit who dwells within you be with us all until we meet again. Amen.